I'm going to start. Well, you want me to give you a little bit of background?
I want to start by asking the Lord to be with us.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for, Lord, your divine appointments. And we thank you for bringing Sister Lisa to the website. And, Lord, only you know what the future holds as far as the ministry in her life and the prophetic calling that you have on her. And, Lord, we just ask that she shares this testimony, Father God. We just ask that, Lord, let your arm be wrapped around her. Let her feel your presence. Let her know that you're right there with her. And that the visitation of these very unpleasant memories will be used to help other people come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we give you the glory for our lives and what you've called us to be. And we say in Jesus' name, amen. So you were starting a while ago. You were talking about your drug life.
I was raised Catholic.
Yeah.
But I wasn't devout. I did my first communion. I got very heavy into drugs. I got involved with a family who had ties to witchcraft. I dabbled a little, not really believing in it, even though I knew it was wrong. Okay, I believed in Jesus Christ, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
And but the drugs, doing the drugs, made me curious about the witchcraft. Well, I had gotten away from the family, and I started watching the Christian channel, and I just asked, you know, for Jesus Christ to come into my heart.
And the family you're talking about is your own family?
No, it is my son's family, my four-year-old son's family.
Okay.
Which, two of them are saved now.
Okay.
They go to church with me. So, anyhow, so I got back involved with the family, and things just got really bad. I mean, not only the witchcraft, but like I think they dealt with the police, like as far as busting people, like drug dealers, other addicts. I was told there was a big network of these people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe this is Satan's little helpers. You know how the Antichrist, how he can enter into the government, he can enter into the police department, he can enter into the mental health department, just various places. You know, how he can enter. Well, my brother, he committed suicide. And before he committed suicide, he told my mother that he had gotten himself involved in something and he didn't know how to get out of it. Well, I didn't know what he was talking about. I had no idea because my eyes weren't open to the fact of what I saw later, okay? When I finally got away from the family, Jaden's father told me that he had something for me, you know, that something terrible was going to happen to me. And I just blew it off. I really didn't think much of it. You know, even though I was using drugs, I was still trying to read my Bible. I know that sounds bad, but I was still trying to get to know Christ, but I wasn't yet delivered from the drugs. I would watch the Christian channel. I would try to learn as much as I could about it. I just lost my train of thought.
You're talking about the curse.
About the what?
Your husband or your...
About him saying that. And then I was waiting tables one day, and this man came up to me, and he said, you are going to be persecuted for your faith. Well, I didn't know what he was talking. I'm going to be persecuted, you know. I was like, I thought that only happens in other countries, you know. I didn't go to church. I was basically just doing it on my own, you know. I didn't think people were going to persecute me for believing in Christ. But the more I stayed in this drug society, they would start making little comments about me being a Jesus freak, and they would start saying things that I only said in my house. You know, they started repeating things that they had to have been listening in. You know, I don't know if they tapped my phone or if my phones were tapped or what was going on. And it really started scaring me. I was being followed everywhere. I was being, like, people, okay, you know in Psalms where it says, like, I started underlying all this stuff in Psalms. My enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Stuff like that, you know, I felt like people that didn't even know me hated me, okay? Everywhere I turned, and there was also demonic forces coming after me, too. And so I tried to commit suicide. Well, when I came out of the hospital, I was really freaked out because the police, okay, I got to go back. I was talking to a Catholic priest at the time. And when I was talking to him, he wasn't talking to me like a priest should talk to a girl. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I don't know. Be more specific. There's a lot of things.
he was being kind of sexual.
Okay, I understand that.
And it kind of made me, wonder about, you know, about the Catholic religion. You know, was it just him or all the priests like that?
This was when you were in the hospital?
No, this was before I went to the hospital.
Before you tried to commit suicide?
Yes, because all this stuff was happening. There were people following me. People that didn't even knowing things about me. And then it started reminding me of maybe that's what happened to my brother. You know, my brother saying that he got into something that he didn't know what he had gotten into, you know, and eventually killed himself over. Well, anyhow, I get out of the hospital, and they take me to Parkland Psychiatric Ward.
What was your method of suicide?
I started taking pills.
Okay.
Seroquel, Valium, beer, whatever. I mean, I prayed to God to forgive me for doing it, but there was so much evil surrounding me that I felt like he lifted his hedge of protection away from me. I didn't feel the presence of God anymore. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And I just saw no hope. Well, I woke up, and I was in Parkland Psychiatric Ward, and when I woke up, there was a guy sitting there that was in one of the dope houses that I used to buy dope from. And obviously, he was probably undercover, and I didn't know about it. You know, I think that I had started figuring things out. They knew that I was figuring things out and wanted to hush me up, wanted me to go so crazy to where nobody would believe a word I said. You know what I'm talking about? Because the police were involved. It was kind of, it's like the government is corrupt.
Amen.
Really corrupt.
Amen.
And I was beginning to see it. And they knew I was seeing it. So that I had a feeling they were doing everything that they wanted to let me know that they knew what I talked about. They knew where I was going. They knew who I saw. They knew what I had bought from the grocery store. You know, it reminded me of the Pale Horse Rider, that book I read after all this had happened. Well, anyhow, after I woke up, looked in the mirror, and I really thought I was dead. I thought I was in hell. I didn't feel the presence of God. The people around me were almost evil. It was like they were possessed by Satan. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there was no good in them.
I'm with you.
And then the medical people, they called me in the office, and they were like, so do you know why your brother died? Or did you ever figure out what happened with your brother? I never told them what happened to my brother. You know, and then they started saying things to me that I never told them. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, this big brother thing really is true. You know, these people have been listening to my conversations. You know, before I got out of there, they were like, you need to stay away from drug dealers and drugs. And I was like, okay. So I did whatever I could to get out of there. Well, lo and behold, went back. I did drugs maybe twice, and then obviously the guy that, I guess he was an undercover police officer.
Oh, were you shooting up or what?
Yeah, I was shooting up heroin, but this time it was crack.
Okay.
And he gave me a dose that nearly killed me. I think that he wanted me dead. So I never did it again. And so I started looking for a job. Well, every job I went to, it seemed like everybody knew everything about me.
Were you making a living off of drugs?
Was I making a living off of drugs?
Yeah, you said you finally went to work.
No, but I got child support. I would use my child support for it.
Okay.
I was waiting tables. Until I tried to commit suicide. And then I went to this one job in Irving, and again, these people knew everything about me. They knew what me and my father talked about the night before. They knew that they would say things about she's never going to change, would make references about me being a Christian, saying stuff like, I bet you pray all the time. And I was like, yes, not once did I deny God. I always carried my Bible with me. I even had someone tell me that I shouldn't be carrying my Bible, that I should be carrying an AA book. Which I didn't. I continued to carry my Bible. And the whole time, like, the Holy Spirit told me that Jesus is coming back soon, because I couldn't figure out what was going on. I mean, I would literally lay in my bed all night crying, like all these Psalms of David, where he's crying out to God, have you forgotten me? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. For that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Created me, because I know I needed to get right with God. I knew that I had brought this on myself, but I also I was like, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give me to the words of my mouth. For strangers are rising up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Do you get where I'm going?
Oh yeah.
I just wanted to die because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. And all I kept saying was, Lord Jesus, even if I am in hell, you can reach down in here and get me out. Because I really felt like I was in the pit of hell. Because everywhere I turned, I believe it was a combination of Satan. I believed it was a combination of the sins that I had committed. And God just telling me to hold on. And I really believed in my heart that he was telling me to get ready. He's coming back, and he was trying to prepare me and to show me how much evil and corruption there is out there in that world. And so I got this one job, and the Lord told me to stay, okay? They put me in a cubicle, and they would surround me by different people every day, okay? And constantly make little comments about, I know they were at me about being a prostitute, that I would never change, that, yeah, she found God now. Well, let's see if God can help her. That kind of stuff, that the kind of persecution that I was getting. And so I just stayed, and I took it, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And then finally, about 2 weeks after that, I mean, it took everything in me to get up in the morning. I like faint, you know, when David talked about how he was so weak, you know, from fainting, you know, when you feel like that, when people are coming against you and so many people are coming against you and you have no help. You know, I had my own mother telling me, why are you reading the Bible? Jesus can't save you. You know, I had my dad everybody telling me that I was crazy, that Jesus would never save me. I mean, I couldn't believe the stuff that was coming out of their mouth. And then at night, my son would be, he would, and this is the house that my brother shot himself in. Me and my son were staying in. I would see demonic spirits. And every night, my son would wake up screaming, crying. So I just woke up without even knowing, I guess it was the Holy Spirit, and I said, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And this spirit went through my TV, lit up the whole TV, it made the whole room light up, and I just laid right back down in peace. So I kept going to work, you know, but they were thinking, it was like the more I went to work, the angrier these people got. You know, it was like Satan was so mad that I came again for more. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
And finally, you know, I was reading the book of Revelations, and I was asking the Lord, okay, which church do I belong to? You know, this was maybe a week before he gave me the revelation. And the last day that I was on that job, the Spirit told me Philadelphia.
Amen.
And this is when I thought I couldn't take it anymore. You know, when I literally couldn't take it one more day in that hell hole, okay? And it was true. You know, he says, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength. And I tell you, I had no strength when he gave me this. And he says, and has kept my word, and has not denied me, because as much as everybody kept telling me to curse God, or to put the Bible down, or he's not going to help you, I never did. And he said, and behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. And that just made me, that just brought so much peace to my heart, you know, my soul. And it was like, I heard in my head, it is done, you know.
Amen.
And I had, you know, it got better. It wasn't immediately okay, but I knew in my soul, I had obeyed his command.
You made a breakthrough.
And, you know, I don't know if this is what happened to my brother and he didn't have Jesus to cling to. But I think it happens to a lot of people because they kept going, I guess she wants to be famous. I guess she wants to be famous. You know, and I couldn't understand what they were talking about, you know. But I just held on to Jesus. I kept telling him, you know, even if I am in hell, you can reach down in here and get me.
Amen.
He saved me.
Amen.
And the weird part is that my roommate is one of the people that I think had something to do with all this. And I keep asking God, you know, why am I here? Why am I here? And he keeps making me go to Jonah. You know how Jonah didn't want to preach to him? He wanted his enemies to suffer.
I just printed out a Jonah track this morning.
Really?
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
I'll send you the track, the link.
But I just love him. And like I said, I stumbled after that. You know, I got into a good job, and the thing was is I never got into a church. Okay, I didn't have that family, you know. And I knew that I had Jesus, but I also needed that community, you know. I needed to be around other Christians. I needed to grow in my faith, and that's what caused me to stumble. I had probably after all that, 6 months after that had happened, I went back to heroin. And I think a lot of it was to cope with what I'd been through and kind of just get that out of my mind. Cause it kind of terrified me for a long time that there was such evil in this world. And then God led me out again. He didn't give up on me, you know. Here I am living with this guy, you know, not my roommate, basically taking care of me while I clean his house, and me and my son attend church, and I can read my Bible all day long every day and, you know, worship God. And it's just, I'm just kind of waiting to see what he has in store for me, you know.
What's his name?
Who?
The man.
Name?
Yeah.
Chuck Morales.
Chuck Morales.
Yeah.
And your son's name?
Jaden.
Jaden?
Uh-huh, Jaden. J-A-Y-D-E-N.
Okay.
And, oh, yeah, because, you know, sometimes he gets drunk, my roommate, and I'll try to bring up what had happened, you know, because he says that he wants to help me because he feels guilty what happened to my brother, and he feels like, a lot of bad things have happened to him because of what happened to my brother. And these are things that he says when he's drunk. So I try not to elaborate on them. I try to let him tell me. But he says that I was part of a project. Now, I don't know whether to believe that or not. I don't know.
You know, the way they knew everything that was happening in your life, have you ever read He Came to Set the Captives Free?
No.
Rebecca Brown?
No.
She was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And working in the hospital, there's, you know, if you start looking in the hospital and the satanic influence, this working within it, that system,
uh-huh,
it'll really blow you away. But anyway, she was a doctor, and she became a Christian, and she got thrown right in the middle of satanic cults. I mean, full bore.
Uh-huh.
And she was experiencing things that, you know, would make your experiences look like kindergarten. She was actually having, when she was standing up against these cults, she was actually having things fly around in her room.
Oh, yes, I've had after I went through all this,
right,
I had a demonic spirit choke me and lift me up off the bed, and I couldn't even say Jesus, but I was like, Jesus, and it rocked me. That was the craziest thing that ever happened to me. But,
well,
yeah.
It's like you've been through some stuff, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was the Satanists praying against you,
okay,
against her. And they were doing a lot of things, you know, paranormal, as in, these are upper crust Satanists.
Okay, yes, I've heard about them walking through walls.
Right, and actually using animals even to tap in and hear what's going on inside the room.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they can do some weird things through the power of Satan.
Yes, but you know what? Nobody believes me. I don't tell anybody. Like, I tried telling my parents. Have you ever read Divine Revelation? A Revelation of Hell by Mary Baxter?
I haven't read, but we listened to it. We got the audio.
Okay, well, after I read her book, I have actually seen some of the demons that she talks about that are bats. They look like bats. And they were flying all around my roommate's head, okay?
Mm.
And I'd seen them. And, oh, it was scary. It was disgusting. And what she was talking about, because when I was, when they were repeating the things that have gone on in my house, I was literally looking everywhere to see if there was, like, bugs or little cameras and stuff. And in her book, she says the Antichrist can look in any house, and it's not visible to the naked eye. You know, the way he looks, or how he gets into houses and listens and looks, you can't see it with the naked eye.
Right.
And it's like the Big Brother type
right.
thing.
Right.
And people don't believe it. How do you get people to, are they going to believe it when it's when he's fully revealed? Or
no, it's going to get worse. I mean, you know, the deception is even going to be greater once he shows himself.
So do you think God just, do you think, I feel like he was testing me to see if I was of this world and if I would hang on to him, like it said, and not deny him?
Well, you are very special. I mean, you're very special. I mean, that's who we deal with. Very special people. People who are extremely gifted is who God sends to us. And that's why you've gone through such crazy experiences.
Uh-huh.
The devil wants you bad.
Yeah.
All right? And since the day that you were born, the day that you were conceived, the devil has had his eyes on you. He has marked you to destroy you.
Uh-huh.
Because you're such a powerful being for the work of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to oppose him greatly. And he knows it. So he wants to get rid of you.
Yeah.
All right. But you had to go through this. And, you know, God has allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
For a reason.
Yeah.
You know, once you know, I mean, I was an engineering manager, and I got fired in 1999 for speaking the word to the CEO of the company. And when I lost my job, God said, good.
Uh-huh.
You're where I want you. You're going to learn to trust me now. And it scared me to death. I was brought up in a little small town and in a squeaky clean environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knew everybody. You know, that was my life. And to be thrown into what God put me into was totally, it just freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
To lose your job, to lose your income, to lose your family, to become homeless. You know, that was totally foreign to me.
Right.
Couldn't even imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he wanted me to go through, so I could learn to trust him.
Right.
All right. And through it all, though, and living in the mission and, you know, working with the homeless people that would come in there, you know, I've learned a lot. And I've seen demons.
Yeah.
That I would have never seen before if I wouldn't have had to go through this. And you were talking about that testimony that you read where I went to church and the pastor said, take off your shirt and tie. Your minister's getting ready to blast off. You know, you're going places you've never been before.
Uh-huh.
With the homeless, the alcoholics, the drug addicts, the body piercing.
Uh-huh.
You know, he spoke that right in the middle of the sermon. Blew me away.
Yeah.
And then it happened.
Yeah.
All right. But through it all, I have learned who they are. It's called becoming street smart.
Yeah.
You learn who the demons are.
Yeah.
And now you are prepared to do some really strong warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what you've been through.
Yeah.
All right? So be encouraged.
Okay.
But also know
okay.
that because of your gifts, he demands a lot of you.
Yeah, I don't know. Every day I pray, where does he want me? You know, what does he want me to do? I want him to use me. I want, you know, I just want to go save everyone. I want to let everybody know, you know, demons are real. Christ is real. Choose him, you know, and I think he's preparing me for something, and I just don't know what it is.
Well, you don't have to know. Well, I can tell you one thing. You're a prophet. I can tell you that much.
Really? I thought that.
Okay.
I didn't know. I didn't think I was worthy.
You're a prophet. And you know, you don't... All you have to do is just take the steps. And you don't have to know why you're doing it. And, you know, God didn't tell me I was a prophet until after I had spoken a prophetic word that got me fired and everybody turned against me and said I was crazy.
Right.
And then he said, now you've got the credentials of a prophet. I said, what are you talking about? He said, you have the credentials of a prophet. Look at John 4:44. What did they say about Jesus? He wasn't even welcomed in his own country because
right.
he was a prophet.
Uh-huh.
And that's the credentials of a prophet.
That's what I kept saying too, because I mean my own family rejected me and
yeah.
everybody rejected me.
Well, a prophet has
not
to
believe a word I said.
Yeah, they have to be tested greatly because they're the ones who are to speak God's word that everybody has rejected.
Uh-huh.
You know, you become the mouthpiece of God. So it's a a very high position. And it's very important that you learn to look only to him.
Okay.
You can't, you know, you can't trust in anything but him.
Right. I know that. I know that.
But it's so, it's you know, you have to do it like nobody else because you're a prophet.
Okay.
You can't waver one iota.
Right.
You have to be stripped totally, completely, that you love nothing but him.
Exactly. That's where I'm at. I love him, only him. I will risk anything for him. I mean, I owe him my life.
Okay, and even your family now.
Huh?
You have to be able to risk even your family.
And I did. And okay. I will again. I have. I will again.
And I'm talking about even the one that's most precious to you, your son.
I know. I thought about that, too.
Okay, you have to go all the way.
I know.
But,
so do I just wait on the Lord and see where he wants to put me, or just stay where I'm at? And, I mean, because...
You can't... Where are you going to church?
I go to Trinity Life, and they have they do missions with the homeless people.
What's the basic? Well, let me tell you this: a prophet will not be welcome in church.
Right, I say some things and they don't believe me.
Okay, all right. So you know, when you, you know, every step that you take needs to be directed by the Father.
Okay.
He needs to tell you what to do. You can't do anything on your own. Your life belongs to him. If you take any steps that aren't directed by him, you're walking out into a firing range, and you got a target on you, and they're shooting at you, and you could get hit. You know, you don't have his power unless you're walking in his authority. And you can't do that unless you have his direction. He's got to tell you what to do.
Okay.
All right, so the most important thing for you to do is just seek him constantly. What do you want me to do, Lord? And be all the time. I mean, everywhere you go, everything that you do, try to make sure that it's where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do.
Okay, well, it took me 3 months to join that church. You know, because I felt like I needed some sort of teaching. I needed some sort of a family. Something like I've got to be, because I came from where there are no Christians at all to where I'm all on my own. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but you have got the one. Alright, who is the teacher?
Jesus.
The Holy Spirit. You have the Comforter.
Yes.
Okay, so you know you don't really need anybody but him.
Right.
Alright. But what does he want you to do? You know, nothing else matters but what he wants. I can't overemphasize that.
Okay.
That is how we are born again.
Okay.
That's God's rhema word to us, that as we obey it, it goes in and it destroys the sinful nature and it rebirths us in his spirit. His word is his spirit. But you got to get it. What do you want me to do? You know, walk in the Spirit, but you got to know what to do.
Okay.
And you know.
I'm not asking that every day. Well, what is it you want me to do, Lord? What
keep
should
on.
I do? Use me. What should I do?
But, you know, do it constantly. Be obsessive with it.
Okay.
I mean, to the point of when you get in your car, you get a car?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, if I even... Tell it like this, you know, if you're in a place like a mall or something,
uh-huh.
or in a restaurant or something that has multiple restaurants and you got to go to the bathroom, ask him which one to go to.
Okay.
I'm serious.
No,
I mean,
I believe you.
Take it to that extreme.
Okay.
You know, let him direct your path.
Okay.
Because if you walk through a door that he doesn't want you to walk through,
uh-huh.
you don't know what might be on the side, on the other side, and you could get knocked down, you know, really hard.
Okay.
You're important.
Okay.
They hate you.
I know they do.
You can't afford to do anything that's not in his will.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, you know, one important thing that you do is you obey him by getting in contact with us.
Yes. Yes, I've always obeyed him, whether I knew it, or, I mean, I know I haven't always, but with the really important things, I've obeyed him, you know, against all odds, against losing my parents, against them calling me a freak, against, you know, even with all that, me thinking that I'm going homeless, I have obeyed him. But now I'm going to do I'm going to ask him everything. Like,
amen.
Everything.
Amen. And just remember, the big things are easier than the small things.
Okay.
It's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Okay.
That's where we get in trouble. Because when we ignore him on something so very simple, what happens is it's like a domino effect. And just one little domino pushed over, you know, and it hits the one that's standing up next to it. Before you know it, the whole blooming row is laid out. When you get them, you know, the domino game where you push one and you got them lined up, standing up, and one knocks the other one down, the other one knocks the other one down.
Yeah.
And zzz, you got them all knocked down before long, but that's the way it works.
I know I'm being disobedient with him right now with smoking.
Well,
he doesn't want me to smoke.
Well, true confession.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do?
Quit.
You just got, you know, he will give you the strength. No. He has given you the strength.
Right.
If he said quit, you have everything that you need. You have his word.
Okay.
You know, how did Peter walk on water?
Faith.
Faith in what?
Power.
Power from where?
From the Holy Ghost or from Jesus?
All right, let me explain it. All right. When Peter told Jesus he wanted to come to him, what did Jesus say?
Come.
One word, come.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Peter took that word, which is spirit, and put his faith to it, and he walked out on water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't, you know, I'm writing a message on the faith, word faith movement right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's entitled Dead Liberalist Frogs and the Word Faith Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a news, internet news article that I saw almost 2 years ago. And it was about these frogs in Germany, thousands of them. And they were dying, and their innards had just popped out of their bodies, and they were sitting there squirming and dying. And, I mean, just littered this pond. And they couldn't figure out why. And this brilliant, I don't know if he was a veterinarian or what, but anyway, he came up with the theory that crows had pegged out their livers. And that was all it did. They pecked through their back, only took out the liver, and then when they pulled their beak back out, the rest of the innards gushed out when the frog blowed up to protect himself. He actually killed him himself. But anyway, and the Lord told me to save it. And here it is 2 years later that I've actually seen two people now who have basically lost their liver who were associated with Word Faith Movement.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious. I'll share it with you when I'm finished with it.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
Okay, all of a sudden, the Lord told me to stop smoking pot. Okay? So, because I was still smoking marijuana, okay? And so I just laid it down. Okay, now I know what you're talking about. When he tells you to do something, you have the power to do it. I never stopped smoking, okay? It was so easy to do. And then I get on your website, and it says marijuana, the weed god.
I'm working on that one, too.
Does that have to do with marijuana?
It sure does.
Okay. Well, the Lord led me there, and I obeyed. It's just this cigarette. It's like the most awful thing. It's like Satan's last hold on me. It's right. That's just my carnal. That's my flesh. That's my spirit allowing my flesh to do it, right?
If you love the Lord, you're going to obey him. Because, just think about this, every time that you pick up a cigarette, now that he has told you to stop, you're trampling on the blood of Jesus. His blood paid for that word that he gave you that's going to overcome that sin nature in you if you will only obey him.
Okay.
Every time that you pick up a cigarette, you're thumbing your nose at the blood of Jesus. Think about it that way.
Okay.
And I know you love him more than that.
Yes.
Hold on. There's so many of them, it just, it makes you sick.
Uh-huh.
And
but she's the one that the Lord wanted her to move down there.
Yes.
Okay, and she didn't go.
No.
Why didn't she?
Why? I mean, why didn't you quit smoking?
I know. I just quit. I'm not smoking.
All right, but I mean, you know, the point is we're weak.
Right.
And we got a million one excuses why not to. But, you know, she was raised Catholic. You know, she was molested. She, you know, the demons attacked her. You know, she even went to, she even attended the first Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
She was there.
Mm-hmm.
She has experienced so much, but yet, you know, in the demonic world.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the Lord was always there to pull her through. You know, the angel that came into her room and delivered her from alcohol.
Yeah.
But she walked right back into it. You know.
Okay. So
she's lost. I mean, you know, the door is closed.
So you think he would close? Okay, I'm not going to smoke anymore.
Well, it's not that he closes the door. It's that you get to the point that you can't go there. You know, you don't have the strength anymore. When I was living in the rescue mission, I would, you know, I was assistant chaplain. What I would do is just sit in the chapel all day long,
mm-hmm.
and wait on people to come in. And I would be studying the Word of God, and I talked to a lot of people, and quite a few of them. I would ask the question, you know, do you know Jesus? And they would say, I used to walk with him, but then I started doing my own thing. And I said, well, why don't you come back to him? And they would say, it's too hard. I can't go through the pain of having to go back to him. Because, mm-hmm. see, you have to pay for your sin, right?
Yes.
Sin is something that you don't just throw away.
Right.
You got to overcome it once you've got it. And once you, you know, every time we say no to God,
mm-hmm.
we're committing a sin. And we can get to the point where we have built up such a powerful sin in our life that there's no way to turn back.
Okay, so, but, so you think, okay, I believe that him telling Kathy to move down there is a big thing. You know what I'm saying?
He even took her on the trip.
Should move down there.
Right.
But do you think, okay, when he gave me that, when he gave me, so you think that he, like, if, okay, now that I know, confirmed by you, that he doesn't want me to smoke anymore, I'm not going to smoke. I know that I might fall, maybe fall, you know, but do you think that would make me go to hell?
Well, you know, we don't know. We don't know what next sin can be our last sin. We don't know that. And that's the way we need to look at it. You know, Paul said, work out your own, Philip said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes, and I say that all the time.
Every step that we take, if it's the wrong step, you know, you picture it this way. You're in the middle of a great big field. You know, everywhere around you is nothing but wide open space.
Mm-hmm.
No trees, no nothing, just open. And but you're in the middle of a minefield.
Yeah.
You don't know where the mines are. So, but you need to get out. You're hungry. You know?
But you know what he keeps telling me?
So how do you get out?
Huh?
How do you get out?
How do I get out of what?
The minefield. The mine's everywhere around you. So how do you get out?
By faith.
You can, huh?
By faith.
By faith? You just take a step by faith? No, you have to ask the Lord where to put your foot next.
Okay.
He'll tell you where to put your foot, and then your faith applied to it. You believe what he's saying, and you put your foot down, believing that you won't get blown up.
Right.
All right, but the point is, you got to hear his word and put your faith to it. All right, but if you don't do that, if you decide to walk out on your own, you can get blown up.
But you know what? He keeps telling me to be sure that faith in Jesus will assure access into the eternal kingdom.
Faith in Jesus. What does that mean?
That Jesus, that he, not by works. I'm not gonna get to heaven by works. I'm gonna get to heaven by having faith in Jesus that he died for my sins. Not that I should continue in my sins. at all, but to have faith that he died for me, you know, and that he rose from the dead, and believing that is with all my heart and having faith in him is going to get me into heaven as long as I'm not rebelling, you know, what do you call it, being rebellious.
Well, disobedience is rebellious.
Right, disobedience is rebellious. I know that.
All right, but wait a minute. Let me tell you about having faith in Jesus, okay?
Okay.